Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because we've got Chester Elton back on the show. Chester is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is Vice President of Performance Recognition at O.C. Tanner, the world's leading employee recognition firm. He and his co-author, Adrian Gostick, have written a number of books on how to motivate people, how to keep them motivated, and how to make them love being motivated. The new book, the newest book out they've written on the topic is the second edition of their outstanding, landmark, globally successful book, The Carrot Principle. He's our buddy, Chester Elton. Welcome back.
Always delighted to be on your show, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Now, that book has sold something under a billion copies galactically, hasn't it, Chester?
Actually, just crossed over to 2 billion.
Oh,
thanks for asking. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And,
I 197
different languages.
Wow.
And
29 dialects, right?
Exactly.
It's good to have you back, Chester. One of the things that that I've talked about over the years is what I call, it's my Blasingame Small Business Law of Aggregation. And that is, if you really want to be successful in small business, don't try to be successful yourself. Help your employees, help your people be successful, and aggregate their success. And that's the closest thing to a perpetual engine I've ever seen. What do you think?
Well, exactly right. You know, one of the things that one of the big findings we had in our second edition is what drives employee engagement. And we know from a lot of studies, engaged employees will be more productive, more loyal, and more engaged in your business. And the number one driver was this idea of opportunity and well-being. Well, to your point, managers create the opportunity for employees to learn and to grow in skills, in their skill set, which gives us a feeling of self-worth, but then treat them more than just numbers, get to know them as people, and there's this sense of well-being at work. Now, what the big aha in the book was is that the number one driver of that opportunity and well-being is this idea of appreciation. Now, you and I were talking a little bit offline. It's really interesting. A lot of managers don't get that. They think it's about them instead of about the results, and they don't cheer for their employees. They don't create those opportunities or get to know their people to the point where they really are rooting for their success, and that's a key element to great teams and great small businesses.
The guy like that who doesn't root for his own team is like the guy spinning the plates. He can only keep the plates on the stick as long as he keeps spinning. If he ever turns his back, he loses his plates.
Exactly. Well, you know, my mother used to say, anybody who focuses a lot on themselves turns out to be a pretty small package.
Yeah, exactly. But isn't it, it's amazing, though, the people who don't get that. And when I see the reverse of that, when I see the people who, the managers who literally, you know, subordinate their own ego and their own success to really to the success of their people, ultimately is to their advantage and for everybody, and everybody wins that, don't they?
Well, that's the thing, and we know this in our personal lives. You know, the more you give to a relationship, the more it gives back to you. Now, one of the things that we found, and I've proved this out over the last couple of years, I find, and people say there's no magic in the number three, Jim, but I think there is, and I call it the rule of three when you're leading a team or leading a business, and it's this: you focus on three things. Now, we've actually narrowed it down as we've looked at a lot of great leaders. And the first thing that great leaders do and great teams embrace is this first principle of no excuses. We have no excuses in what we do. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes, but no excuses. And along with that, no surprises. So if I've got my small business, and let's say maybe I've got 10 or 12 employees, and we get together and I say, look, we're gonna have three key rules in what we do. And the first one is that there's going to be no excuses, no surprises. If somebody makes a mistake, please, let's all find out about it before the customer calls. And the way this is magical, and it really is magical, is that it allows you, even if you only know a few minutes before, it allows you to be proactive instead of reactive in your relationship with your customers and your clients.
Well, here's another way of encouraging your people to give you that information. is to tell them, look, I can deal with bad information. What I can't do, sad or unhappy information, what I can't deal with is no information.
Well, and you've already gone to the second level, which I knew you would go right to, and that is, listen, you know, let's get this idea of good news, bad news out of the way and just say, look, it's going to be information. We're going to be superior communicators. Everybody's going to be in the room. I don't want anybody burying anything, hoping no one will find out, or hiding, or pointing the finger. You know, we take responsibility. So this first principle of no excuses, no surprises, we found was prevalent in every great team that we looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second one of three is where it's variable. This is where you can concentrate on whatever it is that you need with your team to make you successful. For example, some organizations said, okay, our number two rule of engagement is going to be everything we do is world class. Now, is everything you do world class? No. But the goal is to do it world class, to take a little extra time.
That's the standard that you've established.
What's that?
That's the standard that you've established.
Right.
You got it. And one thing about it is you won't accomplish your goals if you don't have one.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly right. Now, that may shift. You know, you may say, okay, we're going to focus on zero defects, right? Now, no one ever has exactly zero defects, but manufacturing principles are getting better and better. You can get pretty close. You know, I did this with we were out camping. We had this little group of campers, and our first rule was, you know, no excuses, no surprises. Everybody, you know, does their assignments. But our second rule was everybody pulls their weight.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had to move all this camping equipment every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what was really important. Say, listen, you know, and as things would start to lag, I'd just yell out, say, hey, what's rule number two? And everybody pulls their weight, and everything would pick up.
Right.
So that's the one that's variable.
I'd like to stick something in there. You said you talked about the setting the goals. Michelangelo, and I may have said this to you before, but I like saying it. Michelangelo said that the greatest failure is not in aiming too high and not reaching it, but aiming too low and accomplishing it.
Well, let me put that into a cowboy proverb for you. I had a good friend from Wyoming one time, and his dad used to say it like this. He says, it's better to shoot for the stars and miss mm-hmm. than to shoot for a cow pie and hit.
That's a good one.
You might want to write that down.
I just did that. Hey, Chester, give us that website, please.
www.carrots.com.
Carrots with an S.com. That's where the books are. That's where all the things that Chester and Adrian do. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassing, and we've got more to come after these messages.
Whether they're right or wrong, at least the mystery is gone. Put on your red dress, baby. Lord, we going out tonight.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for going there. Thank you for using it, for checking it out. And you can read, you can listen, you can ask questions and get answers. You can find my blog there. You can check out my newsletter and subscribe to it while you're there. Lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds or 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the small business sun. We got something that will help you. So hope you'll check it out. And if you're on Twitter, if you like that, I'm on Twitter as well. You can follow me at Jim Blassingame. That's it. And Chester Elton is our guest. He's our good friend. And he and Adrian Gostick are the authors of The Carrot Principle, now in its second edition, among other books. And that's carrots with an S.com, right, Chester?
Got it. Exactly right.
Now, Chester, you've been talking to us about how to get our people to working closely together, all of our cylinders firing and cheering for each other. You encourage us all to make sure that we're all encouraging each other to be successful. That's the key, isn't it?
It is, and it's number three in this rule of three that I talk about. You know, after you've got no surprises,
yeah,
and you've talked about, you know, what is your core, you know, purpose, whether it's customer service or whatever it is, this idea of cheering for each other, what we found is that leaders that were big recognizers excelled in areas of communication, of goal setting, of accountability, and most of all, trust. So when you look at your team, and this was a big epiphany for me as I started to learn these principles. If you've got somebody on your team that you can't cheer for, that's a real heads up, is that there's something wrong in that relationship. Either your relationship with that employee or that employee's in the wrong place, you're not taking advantage of their skills. And when you see on your team members that can't cheer for each other, you've got some interesting dynamics. Mm-hmm. The theory here is, if you're on my team, I want you to succeed, and I'm going to do everything I can to enable you to succeed. I'm going to cheer for you. If I can't do that, I got to reassess my team. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. No question about it. And this is happening all over the place, and it's really a problem in small business, Chester, because we would almost rather chop a finger off than have to replace somebody in our organization. I mean, we literally will put up with small business owners way too much. We put up with a bad employee, an unproductive employee, or a disengaged employee. We'll put up with that person a lot longer than we should because we just hate the process of getting rid of that person, bringing a new one on.
Well, let me share a little something with you. My son was back for the summer working, you know, to go back to make some money for college, and he worked at a local shipping place here in Summit, New Jersey. And it was really interesting. He came back after his last day, and he said, "Dad, I wish every day at work was my last day." And I thought that was pretty funny. I said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "They were so good to me. They told me all these wonderful things about me on my last day. Why didn't they do that while I was working there?" Isn't that funny?
That is funny. Well, he learned a lesson, didn't he?
He did, and you know, but we all do that, right? It's kind of like we were laughing now that you got your four grandchildren, you got four of your six pallbearers, you know. Everybody says, well, think about what people are going to say at your funeral, and hope they say it to you before you die.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I've been looking at this idea of this rule of three, and I'll tell you, as we've proved it out, and whether it's been, you know, in my Sunday school classes or at Scout Camp, or looking at these great leaders in organizations like, you know, Madison Square Garden and Pepsi Bottling Group and Continental Airlines, where they build these great teams, these three things seem to be prevalent in every one of them. And I thought, in particular, as you talk about small businesses, where, to your point, you can't afford to lose a lot of people, but you sure as heck can't afford to have a lot of people not on the
well,
same team.
You know,
this would be valuable.
Every time we do this, every time we wait too long to get rid of somebody who's just not part of the team, you know, we always dread it. But when it happens, once it's over, we're always glad that we did it.
Isn't
so you know,
funny,
we really should think more about what it's going to feel like when they're gone, than what it's going to take to get rid of them. And folks, obviously, you know, this is not something any of us want to do with, you know, without cause. But it, you know, it happens all the time, and it's one of the problems that small business owners have is making the decision to cut somebody when they're not part of the team.
Well, and here's the other thing that I found too is not only do you feel better, but your team looks at you and says, "Well, thank you, leader of our
team,
for finally taking the obvious action that we all knew should have been taken a year ago."
And it's often better for the person who got cut. I mean, ultimately, may not be that moment, but ultimately, it's the best thing that happened to them.
Well, and that's what we sometimes call, that's the ultimate carrot. They're miserable, you're miserable, it's affecting your team. You got to make a move. Now, don't misunderstand, sometimes good leaders can understand that person is just in the wrong role.
Right.
You know, maybe they just shouldn't be at the cash register. They should just be doing the shipping in the back.
Well, that's
so
right.
Sometimes
maybe
a change of role can
you,
make
well,
that
maybe
happen,
you've made the wrong decision where you put them, or maybe you haven't done a good job of trying to redeem them. That's another thing that I think we should put the pressure back on the manager to make sure that we've done our job in training and making sure that if the person needs to be redeemed, that we've done that.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of pressure on managers. You know, you just talk about all those things we just talked about.
Right.
That's a lot of pressure to put on a manager and a leader. And that's why I love this idea of the rule of three. If you can get your team to focus on three things, and then, of course, in each one of those, you can drill down.
Chester, I'm almost out of time. Give us those three again. I know we've gone over them, but give them to us again.
Okay, no surprises, no excuses. World class, whatever it is you're doing. And cheer for each other. Keep the success, my friend.
I like that. Chester Elton, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called The Carrot Principle. Second edition, carrots.com is the website. Thank you, Chester, for being here. We'll see you next time.
Always love it, Jim.
Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
In Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.